Father, we thank you for the truth of your holy word, that your word is alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it shall divide asunder, Lord, between spirit and soul and the joints and marrow of our body, Lord. We thank you, Father, that it is the discerner and intense, Lord, our intent of our heart. We thank you for truth this morning, Lord, that there'll be grace deposits, truth impartation. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, who knows what we've been talking about here? And we've been talking about faith. We've been talking about it for a while. Now, Wednesday night, we kind of looked at one of the men of faith, Abraham. And we saw how Abraham and Sarah had to have hope to give their faith, to give substance to. Their faith has to have something to give it substance to. Amen? Faith is the substance, Hebrews 11:1, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen, not seen. We don't see them with the natural eye. But hope is the image that we have on the inside of us of what is not right now, that what is not shall be. We see ourselves with what we are believing God for. When we're believing God, in other words, for example, to prosper, we need to see ourselves prospering, or maybe you need a better job. So you kind of have to describe that to the Lord, right? Amen. What does that look like? I want to make more money. Well, what does that look like? Amen. What am I going to do with it? I know the Lord has spoken to me in the past. And I'd write down, what are you going to do if I gave you $100,000, son? I know we talk about, well, I want God to give me more than that. Well, that's fine. But if he says, what are you going to do with $100,000? Then you need to write down what you're going to do with that first. Amen. Normally, God's not a God of handing over large amounts of money when we're not prepared to handle it. He's trying to prepare us for more toward the future. And sometimes, James says, we want what we want for our own good, for our own pleasures, and not necessarily just for God. You know, can you say, okay, Lord, I've set my salary. I'm happy with what I'm making. The Lord and I get together and we say, well, okay, here's what we're going to live on. Whether it's, you know, 40, 50, 60, 100,000 or 500,000 a year, whatever it may be, or $1 million a year, depending on, you know, your salary. I mean, you know, if you make, you know, 20 million a year, $1 million's not so much, right? Amen. But can you get with God? I don't know why I'm on this right now, but I am. I'm trying to get us to see that we have to have an image on the inside of our heart. Can we get with God and then see it? We have to see ourselves having that. Whatever it is that we need. We want increase. Well, how much increase? How much do I need? And what do I want to do with what God's given me? Amen. And am I spending it? We got to think about all these things. There's more than one thing that comes into play when it comes to faith. Because it's not just based on, oh, I got faith. Yes, I believe. Yes, I'm firmly persuaded. But it's also a relationship with a God in whom we know. See, we can have the promise, but do we know the promiser? Do we know his character? It is holiness. It is righteousness. It is full integrity. It's not just saying, well, I got this. Well, how'd you get it? Did you get, you know, I mean, the Bible talks about money that can come by ill-gotten gain. We can go out and steal it, right? There's all kinds of ways to get certain things. that's not God's way. And everybody says, well, I know that. I understand you know that. I'm trying to get us to see God has a plan and he has a way. And he wants to take us and help us to make a stand so that we can say, my faith is going to receive Zama Zama dollars from God. Because I have a relationship with him. And I've talked it over with him. And if I'm going to be a steward of what he gives me, and if that's the call of God upon your life, you say, well, I'm called to steward money for the kingdom. Then if we're really going to be a steward, then we don't spend the money that God gives us above what he says. Because you're an ambassador, right? For God. If you are an ambassador for Canada and we send you somewhere, Canada pays your way, right? Oh yeah, they took care of all the expenses. They flew me over there. They want me to build some new schools for them over here. Somewhere in the world. Okay. And they've given me, you know, X number of million dollars. Well, they've already taken care of all your expenses. You don't start dipping into the money they gave you, do you? To build the schools. You don't take some of, well, look at all these millions they got. They won't mind a couple hundred thousand. You know, it's not for, yeah, everybody's looking at me like, well, they will when they find out, right? I see, brother. See, he already knows. Because you're getting ready to go to prison, aren't you? You're going to be out of a job. You don't get to dip into the money that you're to, what? Steward over. You're already taken care of. Your needs are already being met. You know, so you talk with God and God takes care of you and you work with him. Say, well, I'm only getting $100,000 a year, God, and you want me to use all these millions in the kingdom. Yeah. Because you're a good steward. And you don't say that's my money. When you are a steward, you say that's the person that gave it to you. That's Canada's money. See, you are the, what, steward of that money. You're the ambassador. You're the one that's over it and in charge of it. And you decide how it's spent. You talk it over and you look into the best ways and you are a manager of that money. Or you are the steward of that money. Amen. And it's the same way when we walk with God. We are stewards, not just in that area, but in every area of our life, we are stewards with God by faith. But with the time he gives us, we all get 24 hours every day. Everybody gets the same amount of time, right? Anybody got 25 hours? I'll take one from you. Nobody's got 25, do we? As much as we want. Someday that time is going to run out. See, time is a created thing. We don't really think about it that way because we live in it. But it really is a created thing because God's outside of time. He's looking down and he says, oh, okay. Yeah, but Lord, I don't understand. We only got so much time, but somehow God can go back and change things in your life and make things different than they would have been otherwise. He can manipulate time, in other words, because he created it. He can speed things up in your life. He can slow them down a little bit if necessary. He created it. And he can teach us how to steward time. Time with him. Amen. So these are all parts of how faith really operates. It's not just knowing the promises of God, as we talked about, but it's also knowing God for who he is. Yes, but it's also adjusting our lifestyle, adjusting how we walk with him according to his purpose and plan for our life. Amen. It's not all just, you know, everybody's like, well, now certain things belong to us. Healing belongs to us. How many knows it? Healing belongs to you. You can say, well, I am by his stripes I'm healed. Prosperity belongs to us. God will take care of me. He'll meet my need. He will provide for me. He will cause me to be. But if you want to be a great steward of that money, how many know they don't just, choose everybody. They didn't choose me to be the representative here for Canada. Why not? Because, you know, what is your experience in, sir? You know, if you've got no experience in finance, they don't want to send you over to be the steward over their money. But if you got some experience and you grow in that, they might choose you. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes I wonder about the people they do choose, but hallelujah. Now, I know some people that were chosen that were really not qualified. We've seen that too, right? And it doesn't work out so good. Why? Because they get taken advantage of. You know, I remember one lady they put up over as a, you know, somebody, they were the liaison, you know, the ambassador basically for U.S. over to China. 24-year-old young girl. I call her a young girl because that's really what she was. No experience, just out of college. Didn't have any experience. But they said, oh, well, we'll just make you, you know, one of these, basically an ambassador over to China. And they just ate her up. Well, how'd they do that? Oh, fine dining. Here, we'll take care of you. Nice hotels. Just make it feel so nice and wonderful, you know. Just get everything. Oh, just sign right here. Oh, no problem. You know, and they took advantage. They were sharks and they know the system. They know how it all works. Hallelujah. So we have to realize that it's not just about faith or our persuasions, but it's about a relationship with a God that loves us and a Father that we know and that we are to walk in that relationship with Him. And we learn that too because we saw, hey, how do we please God? Verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please God. Impossible. He that comes to God must believe that He is, a what? Rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And sometimes we diligently seek God and it doesn't look like we're being rewarded. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, let me give some examples here. I want to read a little bit further down. And start in let's go down just a couple of verses here. And take a look. We looked at Abraham already, but that's okay. We're going to read just a few of these. It says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling as in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And we talked a little bit about that, judging God faithful. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Now, last time we talked quite a bit about that because we said that the image of hope was painted in Abraham and Sarah, which is what they gave their faith to. Amen. What they saw on the inside. God said, step outside here, Abraham. Look at the stars. Can you number them? The answer was no. There's too many, Lord. It's innumerable. I can't number the stars. Then he gave him what? By day, he gave them the sand of the sea. Your descendants are going to be, your spiritual descendants, like that sand of the sea. Hallelujah. And that gave him an image on the inside. And then he what? Changed their name. Abram to Abraham, Sarah to Sarah. What they begin to say. He went from being the father of many to be the father of a multitude. Abraham, Sarah. She became the mother of the living. Amen. Of all that are there. She became that queen, that person that was the mother of this multitude that was promised to Abraham and to Sarah. And of course, we know that we were in that promise too. Abraham was called the friend of God. What are we called? We're the friends of God. We learned that last Wednesday night. But there was a relationship that had been built with Abraham and God. And when God asked him to step out, he had to move. He couldn't just stay right where he was. I believe his father probably had that call too, but he didn't move. He just stayed where he was. He didn't act in obedience with God. But Abraham acted in obedience and went to the land that God promised him. And there's a place in our heart where faith, yes, we know the promise of God. We believe the promise of God, but there's also walking by faith with God in those promises because he has a plan for our life. And if God asks us to do something, then we have to make a step of faith in that direction. Now, some of you are here because God sent you to this city. Amen. Praise God. That was a step of faith. Sometimes on the inside, I'm not so sure, but here I am. Praise the Lord. Amen. God sent you here for a purpose. Amen. And we have come and we have a purpose here at this church. Not just to exist, but we are a place where God wants to pour out and bring forth a family of the love of God. That's really the ultimate demonstration, because in the love of God, what is impossible? The fullness of His love, the fullness of His glory, the fullness of who He is. Why? Because God is love. You know, and He said, hey, there's going to be a flag. It's like a flag. He didn't say it was a flag, but he said it's like that. People can see like a flag flown over this place. That's where love is. Broken people. People that have tried to do things in a religious way to find God and found it to be empty, and they need to know God. The true and the living God. Yeah, they love God, but they want to know, how can I walk with God and produce a life that will please Him. And I can get some results. It doesn't happen just by doing it man's way and following every plan of man. We must follow the plan and the purpose of God. Faith begins where the will of God is known. And when we know God's purpose and God's plan, faith can give substance to what we see in our spiritual man. See, the Word of God paints that picture on the inside of us. You know, I mean, there is the general will of God right here, right? The Word of God. And then how many know? There's also the book of Micah in there somewhere. Amen. It's written in heaven, right? But we have to discover God's purpose for us. We discover it, number one, with the Word of God, which is walking by faith, in obedience, in understanding. Yes, there are promises that God has given me, and there are things that I can stand on, like the peace of God, which passes understanding, can mount guard over my heart and mind. I don't have to be in torment. I don't have to be in fear. I don't have to walk in sickness and disease. I don't have to be totally broke and poor all my life. But I can walk in those things, and those are part of what God has called us to walk in. And we've been mostly talking about that, but there's also the purpose of God for you within all of those things. And when we find our purpose, when we find our place, the blessing of God is already there. Amen. It's already in your life anyway. He said He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ. He said, well, I'm not in, you know, Abraham, we looked at his life and it wasn't perfect, was it? It wasn't totally perfect. They didn't start out in great faith. They started out in laughter and saying, I don't know how this could be. Okay, God, right, I'm 100 years old. Seriously, I'm 90 years old. I mean, I haven't had no pleasure from Abraham telling us a whole lot about him. Hallelujah. He wasn't such a hot rod anymore. And Sarah says, will I have pleasure from my Lord again, from my husband again? And God's saying, oh, you're going to have children, a child, a son, born of your womb. And they so much so didn't know for sure if it could happen. They came up with their own idea. Anybody ever done that? How did it work out? Not so great, huh? Sometimes it's an Ishmael and sometimes we pay for it for a while. Maybe you borrowed the money to get the thing done that God wanted. Or you borrowed some money for some idea that you had. I know this is what you said, God. You want us to have this. And you want us, you know, yeah, maybe He did. And it was His plan, His purpose. But we tried to make it happen in the flesh. And He said it's by the Spirit. Amen. Not by the flesh. We walk by faith. Not by sight, but we do so not by the flesh or by the will of man, but by the will of God and the purpose of God. And the Holy Ghost brings us through. And He brings us into that plan of God. And that's the beauty of walking with God, is that our faith can bring substance to His desires. Boy, hallelujah. This is a little different than what I thought I was going, but hallelujah anyhow. It's been good today. Praise the Lord. All right, let's see. So we saw here Abraham, and verse 13 is where we are. It said, these all died in faith. They didn't have, okay, they're, let's see. Sarah received strength for the promise, verse 12. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky, in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. It said, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. They were looking for the promise, Abraham. He didn't actually see it in his lifetime. Oh boy. Now that's not so, you know, that doesn't make it so wonderful, does it? He was believing it and saw it on the inside of him. And there's sometimes things that we are believing and maybe it's not happening in the time that we want to see it. And maybe it doesn't, what if it doesn't happen in your lifetime, but you see it with the eye of faith on the inside and you know it's going to happen? Because God is asking you to stand and to believe it. And your authority continues on in the earth after you passed away. Amen. Maybe He's promised some things to you about your children and it doesn't look like it's going to happen. It doesn't look so good. But you stand and you continue to believe God. And maybe it didn't happen in the time you wanted it to happen. But you didn't quit and you didn't stop believing God. And it did take place. See, Abraham and Sarah didn't get their child in one day. It didn't happen the first year. It didn't happen the second year. It was close to 25 years before they actually received the child in their arms, and their faith was complete for what they, their part of the believing, but it still wasn't done yet. They still didn't receive Jesus because he was not yet born. Isaac was the type of Christ, and they believed in the coming Messiah, but they themselves didn't receive the promise, Christ. They had faith in the coming Messiah, and it was credited to them for righteousness, just like you have a glorified body, and it's credited unto you. How many of you know we got one glorified body credited to your account? Hallelujah. You're not going to have to stay in this earth body forever. You'll be glorified one day. Hallelujah. You won't have to fight it. There'll be no sickness that can touch it. There'll be nobody that can disappoint you. There's not going to be any crying, no more shame, no more fear. Nothing of that kind. Hallelujah. Nothing but joy and peace and righteousness and truth and worshiping the God day and night, knowing the fullness of who God is and still growing in it forever and ever. A glorified body that has no corruption, that has no end. See, we had a beginning, but we have no end. We have no end. There's no end to our life. It's eternal. And sometimes that's kind of hard for us to think about. You know, I know for me, I mean, you know, my brain, my right brain leaks out the left ear when I think about that eternal. Goes on forever. Forever. See, we get so caught up in right now, and we should. We should be concerned about what we're doing now because it's going to affect our eternity. But are we living eternally minded? See, we think, well, I didn't see that happen, not yet. We're not to give up. We're not to quit. We're not to stop. We're not to pull back. You know, that's what he said there in Hebrews 10, you know, 38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Verse 39, but we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but those who believe to the saving of the soul. We believe. We're not of those who draw back. We don't stop. We don't pull back, but we stand knowing in whom we believe, fully persuaded that he is able. Now, most of the things that we believe for, hallelujah, how many have seen some good things that you believe God for? Amen. Amen. And we know he's working. But even if we don't see it, we believe he's working. How many still believe? Amen. I don't see the church full yet, but praise the Lord. I believe that God has people that are hungry for God that are coming right here. We got to start seeing it with our eye. Lord, the chairs are full. Thank you, Jesus. We've got standing room only. We may have to get Joseph to help me here. Get those cameras set up, brother. Come on. Let's get them set up. I'll help you. You know, so we can have the overflow area. Amen. Or maybe there'll be so many it'll be the parking lot filled with people. People standing around outside listening. Amen. I believe these things have happened. These are not impossible things. Yeah, but it doesn't, you know, things are kind of dark and it looks like it's getting a little darker and it may get darker. But how many know it was out of darkness and in great darkness? God created the earth. He brought forth life. And when darkness is there, light shines even more so. And I'm telling you, the light of the gospel is going to shine in this city. It's going to shine through you and I, and we have a place and a part to play. Hallelujah. They continued to believe God, even though they didn't actually taste the final promise. Amen. Abraham believed God, and he knew what God was up to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We know what God's up to ultimately. The glory and the presence of God. Let's see. Where am I? Oh, I turned the page. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Verse 14 says, for those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Hallelujah. By faith, Abraham, when he tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. And so here Abraham also, remember, had offered his son to be crucified. My only son. Amen. In a sense, he had already received him in a figure. He was a type of Christ, Isaac. And he was placed on that altar. We know that he had allowed, I give a lot of credit to Isaac too. He must have allowed his father to tie him up, knowing he's being tied up to the sacrifice. It wasn't a mystery of how sacrifices were done. And Isaac knew how they're done. The Bible says God, Abraham, in his heart, already saw his son. He said, God will raise him to life if necessary. I believe God. And sometimes we come to a place and it looks like your promise is going to die. Maybe you already received it. Looks like the enemy's taking it from you. Or, God, why do I have to lay that down? You've already given it to me. But sometimes we have to lay things down. We have to let them come to a place where, if necessary, Lord, I'll kill it. I let it go. I'm not going to hold it. I'm going to let you have it, Father. And he was turning loose of Isaac. Put him in the hands of the Father completely and totally. And sometimes there's a surrender. Yes, we come so far. But how many know we have to surrender every day? Paul said, I die daily. The Lord may say, well, Pastor Doug, I want you to stop pastoring tomorrow. He could say it. Stop, go this other direction, whatever it may be. So, well, we don't want to lose our pastor. You're not going to lose your pastor. God would do it in the right way and so forth. But I'm just saying, every day we have to surrender to the plan and the purpose of God and how he wants to bring things to pass. See, I don't think it was Abraham's idea to offer his son on the altar. No. And in his heart, it didn't feel like it was God's plan. I'm sure it didn't feel at all like God's will. But he knew. Sometimes things don't feel like anything's happening. Sometimes it doesn't look like we're following God's plan. Sometimes it looks like we're killing God's plan. And really what we're destroying is we're laying down the things that are dearest to us on the altar. We're saying, Lord, I give it to you. I surrender completely. And that's faith too. See, faith is not just believing the promises, but it's believing God, period. And what he promised you. And the place that he's called you to. And we have to die to the things that mean so much to us sometimes. Amen. We'd like to have them, but sometimes we have to die and realize, Lord, okay, I will let that go. I will give that to you. Sometimes we get them back and sometimes we don't. I had a real good friend. He was a great pastor, but he really liked golf a lot. He played so much so that his hands Sometimes he'd get out and practice and his hands would bleed. He was getting really good. I mean, down to where he could shoot in like the 60s sometimes, you know. Mid 60s, 68, 70. I mean, these are pro scores. I'm serious. He was getting pretty good. Needless to say, he was practicing so much, God finally told him, put your clubs away. And he was like, what? And he didn't think he'd ever play golf again. And for a few years, he did not play golf. Because God had to what? Release. He had to decide. Am I going to love golf or am I going to love God? Am I going to be something that God wants to use, or am I going to be something that the world would want to see? And there are things in our life sometimes that we think are so important, and they mean everything to us, but we lay them down in exchange for what? Walking with God. And it may take faith. By faith. See, Abraham placed Isaac on that altar by faith. Hallelujah. Now, by faith, Moses, when he was born, they hid him for 3 months by his parents. They saw he was a beautiful child. They were afraid of the king's command, because he was killing them all. All the boys that were born were being slaughtered, remember? So by faith, they had something come, and I believe God spoke to them. They said, we're going to make this basket. We're putting him in the water, right? By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called. Okay, they were afraid of the king's command, so they put him in the water, if you remember, when he was a baby. And who found him but the king's daughter? Oh, she was out taking a little bath, and here comes little baby Moses crying in the basket. Oh, her compassion could not resist. Bring that basket to me. Oh, this is going to be my baby. I'm going to receive this child. Oh, could you find someone to feed this child? One of the women, of course, all their babies are being killed. Go find it one, you know, of course, who'd they go get? Moses' mama. How many know God's got a plan? Amen. Now Moses' mama, who doesn't have a job, she just had a baby, gets paid to take care of her baby, to feed her baby, to train her baby. Amen. For a while. At least until he's weaned. How many know it probably took at least 4 years, you know? Mama got to keep hang on. Maybe 5, you know? Keep sucking, baby. Keep sucking. I'm sure she didn't want to necessarily turn her baby over. But the day came and she knew. But she had put enough into Moses that the Bible says, verse 24, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. He didn't want to be there. It said, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. How many know God's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him? Amen. That's part of that faith. We must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder. Sometimes a reward is not that moment. Maybe it's not today, but your day of reward is coming. Sometimes payday is not every Friday. Hallelujah, when we walk with God. But how many know it pays to serve God? It pays to obey God. Moses became the great leader of the nation and delivered them out of the very hand of the people that raised him. Right there, he learned all about Egypt. He learned all about how to approach the king. I believe that's part of God's plan. kind of got a little messed up when he got a little older. He tried to take it into his own hands and kills one of the Egyptians, remember? Has to flee for his life. Spends a few years out in the wilderness, quite a few years. Probably forgot, you know. He says, you know, I know we talk about that. When Moses was at the bush, he says, I'm of slow speech. And perhaps it was, you know, that he was, that he stuttered and so forth. But perhaps he was saying he's slow of speech. He's been out with sheep for 40 years. I'm not, you know, in his mind, he knows how you're supposed to speak when you're in the king's courts. Amen. He did it. He was raised in it. He knew it. Perhaps it wasn't so much that he stuttered, but that he was afraid of how he spoke now. I don't know. I don't remember all that speech now, Lord. It's been a long time. I'm of a slow speech now. I'm not of that fancy speech that reaches the king's ear. But it's okay. Either way, God used him. Amen. God allowed him to have Aaron to speak for him, and declare some things, and tell him what to do. But my point is that there are times when we have a relationship and it takes faith that we walk with God. Our faith, or we would say our faith becomes our substance in that darkest hour. And we hold fast regardless of what we see at the moment. And sometimes it can look like it's getting pretty dark and it's not going to happen. It didn't look like it's going to happen for Moses. I mean, that's a long time, 40 years in the desert. You know, he was almost 80, he's 80 years old. And all right, Moses, let's get rolling. I've forgotten how to speak. Yeah, that, or maybe he was, he did stutter a little. I mean, you might stutter if you see the burning bush and God starts talking to you. He says, take off your shoes. This is holy ground. Amen. So, hallelujah. Well, let's stand up. We can see in the lives of these people, these are examples for us. Amen. 1 Corinthians 10:11 said these men were examples for us. Examples for us to follow of faith. That faith can rise in our heart that we walk with God, regardless of what we see right now, but that we can surrender to him, we can trust him, we can keep believing him, and we will ultimately receive the reward. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for those that have gone before us, these great examples of faith that we have to look at, Father, and that we can see for our own lives, Lord. We thank you and we praise you, Father, that you will guide us and lead us, Holy Spirit, as we walk with you. In our firm persuasion, in our beliefs, by our faith, which you have given to us, Lord. We thank you, Father, that it will sustain us, it will keep us, Lord, and we will continue with you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Praise you, Lord.